Thank you for a chance to be together as your kids. I pray that you would protect this time, that you would help us with your spirit to let go and stand apart from those things that are distracting us this morning, from this week. Anything that might cause us anxiety or worry or stress, you tell us, Father. Don't worry. But in everything, give thanks. And ask. And in asking, that we would receive more than we might imagine, and that in receiving what you would give us, we would have the peace that would surpass, transcend, and blow our minds. Because though not much would have changed in our circumstances, we would have a new awareness in the quiet. Oh, that there is nothing that can stand against us when we stand with you. And so, Papa, thank you for making us your kids, that we are members of your family, an inheritance of richness, an inheritance of strength, an inheritance of blessing. Father, we are mindful of our American friends who have endured such loss this week, where even out of Vegas, Canadians have felt lost, and other members of our world, and we mourn with our American friends. We pray for the city of Las Vegas, for such a time as this that has been racked by the incidents of last week. We're grieved. We know you are. We pray that you would encourage the city's people and all those who have been affected by that shooting. And Father, because I think it would be your kind of heart to pray this thing, we would pray for the shooter's family and friends, who many of whom would never have seen this coming, who many of whom are crushed by it themselves. If these things sort of suggest anything to us, Daddy, it is that without you, we are lost. I'm also mindful to pray for our own country and our own First Nations people, who this week nationally received a settlement out of the 60s scoop, where as a country, we took their kids away from them and did what we did. Yes, we've apologized as a country. Yes, we feel frustratingly bad. Yes, we wonder what it will take for them to be healing. I think I know. It will take us in the church and us as a people turning to you, being mindful and patient and gracious about the healing in others, that they would need to take the time they need to heal. Would you give our leaders wisdom, Father? Would you help us to find a way forward as a country, but particularly as a people here in Chilliwack, and so many issues going on? Would you remind us that they live with this shadow of hurt? Would you remind us that we are called on them like we would want to be on them? Would you remind us that it is not us and them, but just us? are thankful for the country we live in, the life we get to live here, the friends and family, food and shelter. And I pray, Father, and I invite your Spirit to work on us in this moment and moving forward, that we'd be more than just thankful for this stuff. And even for our relationships, we are thankful for God. But that even now, your Spirit is stirring us with memory and understanding of what we have in Christ. Because of you. In the powerful and precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Are you shorter than me, Corey? That's odd. Happy Thanksgiving, Crossroads. Not bad. You weren't ready for it, I get it. You ready? Let's do it again. Ready? One, two, three. Happy Thanksgiving, Crossroads! All right, let's go. I need a video right from the start. Doug, when you're ready, please, sir. I have a video I want to share with you. I grew up on VeggieTales, so I have actually taken the time, because I know you want a chance to sing it with me. Are you leaving because I'm projecting that? Okay. Doug, I think we have the lyrics that would back that song up. Can I get those up? Okay. Are you ready? Let's just do it. It's just good for the soul, right? Why are you laughing? Okay. I love this episode. Every parent loves this episode, right? The stuff mark, right? Okay, anyway. Here we go. One, two, three. I thank God for this day, for the sun in the sky, for my mom and my dad, for my piece of apple pie, for our home on the ground, for his love that's all around. That's why I say thanks every day and the chorus, because a thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have. That's an easy way to start, for the love that he shares, because he listens to my prayers. That's why I say thanks every day. Right? Well done. Give yourself a hand. A cappella, VeggieTales. I can't tell you how many times I've watched that particular episode. But even though the thankfulness song has stuck in my head because of watching it so many times, I'm not sure, and maybe you aren't either, whether our lives demonstrate consistently this level of gratitude. I know mine doesn't. I won't speak for you. I wish it did, though. Maybe you're feeling this morning, too, that even though you're facing challenges all the time, you have much to be grateful for. And it's worth remembering, it's worth talking about, and it's worth being thankful. Apart from its historical origins, maybe Thanksgiving Day weekend gives us all a chance, because it's sitting right there in our calendars, to think about what we're thankful for, to reset our attitude about gratitude, which you'll hear a couple of times today, that expression. So if there is anything you'll take away from the morning, it is, what's my attitude about gratitude? How can I change that? The Bible talks an awful lot about thankfulness, as it turns out. Here's just a couple of verses. We could have selected 30 or 40, but here's a smitten of verses for you. Psalm 100 in its entirety, shout the joy to the Lord, all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. This could be a key phrase. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. What? Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues for all generations. The next verse. Jesus then took the loaves, and he did what? This is God saying what to God? Thank you, and distributed to those who received it as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Next verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, we actually referenced this a moment ago in my prayer, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, or blows your mind, that's my paraphrase, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. Next verse. This is from the Phillips version of the Bible. Thanks be to God who leads us wherever we are on his own triumphant way and makes our knowledge of him spread through the world like a lovely perfume. Which is interesting. This morning someone said to me, hey, you smell like maple syrup. I didn't even know what to do with that. So thanks, Phil. Let me shout God's name, next verse, with a praising song. Let me tell his greatness in a prayer of thanks. Okay, so that's where we'll stop with the verses for now. Did you notice the direction of thanksgiving in those verses? Like, where was it going? Anyone? Bueller? Yes? Upwards to, if we think of God as being upwards, our thanks is going to God. Naturally, we think that. Here we go. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for the sun in the sky. Thank you, God, for family and friends and indeed. Thank you, Grandpa Pie. It's towards the Lord from whom all good things come, says James in his text, that we would say thanks. All that is good that comes our way through people, experiences, the stuff we have, all that is good has its origin in God himself. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, which of you, and I love this, because I kind of sort of imagined that I would actually give my kid a snake or, anyway, here we go. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? That's the point, actually. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. That would be me as well. If you then, and I'm kidding, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who would ask for them? And even to those who wouldn't ask him for them. What we might call common grace. God's grace for everyone. See, the wonder of the sun and the moon and the stars, for instance, isn't just reserved for those who know God. The smell of a flower isn't only made available to those who have a relationship with Jesus. The quenching and refreshment of water isn't just for those who would ask God for good gifts. Again, as Jesus said, and he's talking about God the Father here, he, God the Father, causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Christians simply choose to believe that there's someone to thank for these good things and more. But you may be asking, given the texts we read earlier from the scriptures, why would God ask us to give him thanks, to pray giving thanks, and to enter his courts with thanksgiving? Seems a little egocentric. Well, I think the short answer is this: because, frankly, we deserve it. It is he who made us. You're here because he said so. Everything you experience is because you're here. That is good. Because his son modeled it is the second short answer, and it's our aim as Christians, of course, little Christs, to be like Jesus. But I would add this, that whenever we are given a command from God, like give thanks, it's always in our best interest to follow it, even if we might not totally understand it, even if it might seem, from our perspective, like it's a bit self-serving on God's part, like, hey, you want me to thank you? It's like when friends say to me, hey, thank me. What? Interestingly, science has confirmed the positive power of gratitude. 3 decades ago now, Dr. Martin Seligman and his colleagues launched the field of what is called positive psychology, the scientific study of emotions such as gratitude, optimism, forgiveness, compassion, altruism, those kinds of things. It was revolutionary at the time because most of the data in the field of psychology at the time, and still most of it now, was focused on what otherwise might be called negative psychology, such as mental health illness, trauma, addiction, and stress. What psychologists seem to have learned since then, in the last 30 years, is that cultivating personal positive attributes like optimism, forgiveness, compassion, fortifies us during times of adversity and emotional turmoil, and actually leads us to greater happiness and resilience. So the question, of all those attributes I just listed, and I'll rename them for you, gratitude, optimism, forgiveness, compassion, and altruism, which one do you think is mostly strongly associated with positive mental health? And I'll give it to you and you can hold your hand. Ready? Here we go. Gratitude. Okay. 2, optimism. Okay. 3, forgiveness. Okay. 4, what was 4? I can't even find my notes. Compassion. Okay. And then 5, altruism. Nobody for altruism, really, eh? Oh, was there an outlier there? What? Did you say altruism? What? What is altruism? Just doing good things for people out of your character. You're an altruist. You're not looking for some payout. You're like, I'll just do this, and I'm not looking for you to return a favor. It's altruistic. So altruism? Oh, see? Now, right? And I'm super glad I actually knew the definition of that word, because I would have been, boom. I would have said, Google, find out, let me know when you get back to me. What's the answer? The answer is gratitude. Thanksgiving weekend, come on. I gave it to you. Gratitude, if we were to define it, is the emotion that relates to our ability to feel and to express thankfulness and appreciation. In 2007, Dr. Robert Emmons from California began researching gratitude through a psychological lens. He found that expressing gratitude improves mental, physical, and relational well-being. He also confirmed that being grateful impacts the overall experience of happiness in our days, and that these effects tend to be long-lasting. I'm going to get Dr. to give us the next slide, which is a listing of the huge benefits of having gratitude. So improved physical, emotional, and social well-being, greater optimism and happiness, improved feelings of connection in times of loss or crises, increased self-esteem. Stop there. Don't go to the next slide yet, Or is there one more there? That's it on this slide. Thank you. Why would you not intentionally, now seeing that, make a choice around expressing and demonstrating thankfulness? You're going to live better and longer. Next slide, then. We'll see some more. If that's not enough for you. Love those trees. Heightened energy levels. That is so true. Strengthened heart. Strengthened what? Immune system and decreased blood pressure. Improved emotional and academic intelligence. That's for altruists. Expanded capacity for forgiveness. Decreased stress, anxiety, depression, and headaches. Ugh. Headaches, yeah. Is that the last of those? There's more? One more. There's more! Okay. Improved self-care and greater likelihood to exercise. Heightened spirituality and ability to see something bigger than ourselves. Interesting. I was just pausing for dramatic effect, David. This is science proving a biblical value. It's nice when science catches up. I like that actually a lot. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude, though, isn't easy, according to the good doctor, and as confirmed probably by your experience, certainly by mine, even with the help of the thankfulness song. So I'm going to suggest a few ways that we might undertake by way of helping us be more thankful. The first one is this. Think about it. Meditate on gratitude. Practice meditating on what you're grateful for a few minutes at a time. The more we do this, the more we create, more science here, neural pathways and alter existing ones as we train our brains to develop a more grateful outlook on life. It's the same way physically. As we exercise, we build muscle, we alter our body in terms of its strength, maybe its shape. Here's the challenge, though. According to another neuroscientist and author, Rick Hansen, not that one, the other one who's a scientist, negative experiences stick like Velcro in our minds. Ain't that the truth? Right? Easily recall negative experiences, and they stick. Whereas positive experiences tend to be more like Teflon. They slip away fairly easily. We just know this intuitively. Again, it's like that science proves this academically and otherwise. We have to actively work to integrate positive experiences into our brains for the positive to stick and for beneficial effects to endure. The question is, how do we do this? How do we keep this on our mind? Well, we think about it. So let's give it a try. We're going to do a very brief 2-minute meditation that I'm going to lead you through. Don't get weirded out. It's centered on thanks, nothing else. Which is to say, in this context, it's centered on Jesus. Your origin of all that is good that we're thankful for. So, get comfortable in your molded plastic foldable chairs. Feel the edges of your chair. Relax. You might want to close your eyes if that helps you. Your feet squarely on the floor. Maybe even have your hands on your knees like that. That would be, if you're more comfortable with your feet on the front, do whatever you want. Just get comfortable. Take kind of blanket, some cocoa. So take a few deep breaths from your abdomen. Now there's two ways we breathe. We breathe in and we up, which is tight and doesn't work really well. Or we breathe out with our, what do they call that? Diaphragm, that's it. Breathe out, so your belly should go out. In fact, you'll know you're breathing properly if you put your hand there and you feel your belly. That gives you more oxygen. Okay? A couple of deep breaths. Down. Think about this question.
What am I really grateful for?
Like, it could be a person, it could be an experience, or it could be a thing. So take that, whatever has come to mind first, and just build on that thought. Expand upon the story of that positive experience or memory. Savor the experience and allow it to sink into the recesses of your mind. Just practically kind of talk it together. Your best. Intensify these positive feelings associated with the experience or the person you think by vividly visualizing the memory. So go to the details, go to the colors, go to the sounds, go to the smells, go to the touch. Go from 2D to 3D to high def. Keep that experience in your mind longer than you would normally do. Don't just say, oh, that was nice, and move on. Stay there. Revisit it. Enjoy it. Let it sink deeply into your mind. You're cutting a path right now. Father, as you're bringing those memories to mind, we would just want to say thank you for the good that they represent. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's 2 minutes. It's not even. Do that as often as you can. Build that muscle if you want to benefit from all those things by living more gratefully. I did this exercise this week, actually. Because I don't ever want to be the kind of leader who asks you to do things that I have not done myself. So I held a memory, and I think Kaylee is not here, so that's okay. By the way, whenever I tell stories about my kids, I've always asked permission. And Kaylee said to me, you have my permission for any story you want to tell, as long as it doesn't embarrass me. So I had a recent memory of Kaylee asking me, this week, where are you going to read in the house, Dad? I just like to read with you, just to hang out with you. My 16-year-old daughter. So I'm pretty grateful that my 16-year-old daughter would even want to hang out with me. I'm grateful that she asked. I'm grateful that she came and sat with me. I expanded the memory by asking myself how it made me feel that she chose to spend time with me that way. I was filled with warmth. My face settled into a relaxed happiness. The muscles in my body loosened. I savored the memory. The look on her face when she asked me, the tone of her voice, the way she leaned into me. Then I visualized it for a little longer. I got such a good memory, rewinding the scene several times in my mind. And then I prayed, as I just prayed with you, for you. Thanks, Jesus. I just pray this for you, don't pray this for me. For my beautiful God. I'm not going to lie to you. It changed my mood, and it changed my countenance moving forward in that day. It was such a fantastic breath. Think about it. Secondly, talk about it. Thank God for those people and things and experiences. Literally, talk to Him. Thank you. And talk to others about these good people and things and experiences and the God who is behind them. We, in church culture, would call this, of course, testimony. You see, it's just science if we simply practice gratitude so that we might feel better. But it becomes an act of faith to talk about God as being the source of all that we would be grateful for. There's a very big difference, for instance, between saying, life's good, and God is good to me.
One's a brand. The other is a creed.
Third, write about it. Just write about it. So the most common method for cultivating gratitude, scientifically speaking, is by keeping a gratitude journal and recording experiences for which we are grateful. The idea is to write about at least 3 positive experiences on a daily basis, like taking notice of something in nature or an object of beauty. Turn to your spouse at this time and just gaze there for a second. Nicely done, Liv. Or a pleasant conversation. Nicely done, Stacy, by the way. Or a pleasant conversation with a friend, or a good cup of coffee, or helping someone with a problem, like whatever it is. Write it down. Research shows that recording the experiences for which we are grateful for only 2 consecutive weeks has lasting positive effects for up to 6 months. What? That is a super rate of return, right? I invest 2 in, get 6 months out. All right. What do you think? I'm not a journal guy, to be honest with you. But are you up for a gratitude throwdown? I'm going to give it a try, even though I'm not a journal guy. Will you join me in a little 2-week gratitude experiment? So here are some guidelines for you. Keep your journal, whatever journal you choose. You might be something you already have, or you might buy one specifically for this little experiment. But keep it close at hand, right? In my case, I'm going to keep it in my man purse, my briefcase, what do you call that thing? Satchel. That's such a redemptive word for that. That's good. All of a sudden, I feel like Indiana Jones or something. A satchel. 2, list 3 things in your journal every day. At the end of the day, presumably, it will work best. Or start and reviewing from yesterday. That's fine, too. We'll let that go just this time, never again. List 3 things per day that you're thankful for. And that might come from what you're already doing, which is you're already thinking about it. You're already meditating on it. So you might pull from that experience. 3, elaborate on one of them. So take one of those 3 and just write a bit more about that. Give it some color. More than savor it, and you write it out, and it applies. Very last thing, I'm going to suggest that my job as members be more grateful is to thank the target, talk about research and culture. And whereas we think what we do affects what we do functionally, that the opposite is also true, that what we do affects the way we think. We can cut new neural pathways in our minds by the things we do with our feet. Gratitude has real traction in our minds when we pass it on, when we make effort to thank others who've served us, and when we do things for others, motivated by the gratitude we feel and we express towards our God. So here's a simple, simple application. Just say thank you, like way more than you're currently saying thank you. Thanks to anyone who serves you in any way, even badly. Thanks to God at all your meals, all the time. Thanks to family and friends who show us love. Keep a count if you like, and just keep adding. Thanks, 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 thanks. Write a letter of thanks, or give someone a card who has made a difference in your life, and give it to that person in person. If you can't text someone to say thanks. Don't just think about it. That's what happens to me. That's my catch. I think, oh, I should thank them. Bubble. And I don't even do it. Hit your social media platforms and give thanks. And when you're feeling brave, to keep who's behind it all up front, when someone texts you or Instagrams you or Facebooks you to say they've experienced some kind of good, feel free to say in the body of your response, being mindful of who sent it and what they're capable of absorbing in their spiritual journey, something like,
Thank you, Jesus. This just happened. It's such a cool thing. That's really cool. Thank you, Jesus. And how about saying, thank you, Jesus, out loud when something good comes your way, whether you're by yourself or with others. So if something good has just happened. I had an experience this week, actually. I got a text this week, and I went, oh, that's really good. Thank you, Jesus. Tanner, the dog, was in the room, and he went, huh? It's okay. In fact, who knows? Maybe your out loud praise might, as we talked about last week, open a door to talking about who you're talking to that they can't talk to. And then finally, serve somebody else out of the overflow of your own gratefulness. Look for chances. Look for chances. They will present themselves. If you live this way, gratefully, looking to demonstrate that and pass it along, it'll come along. Chris and Debbie Visser have given us such a chance this week by inviting us to bring some much-needed non-perishables to the church this morning. And I'm looking at that team back there. Debbie, do you see me? So I'm going to have you come up, if you would, and maybe Chris, if you would come up as well. And if you would want to grab a mic, I'm just going to put a face to who has invited us into this partnership with Cyrus years ago that many of you know and some need to remember and some will be meeting for the first time. So would you welcome Chris and Debbie Visser, please? Hi, Deb. Hey, you're here. That's good. All right. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the backstory of how you had come to say to us, hey, church, would you be interested in partnering with Chris and I in blessing Cyrus Center? Or did you want to say something else? Like, hey. Okay. Excellent.
Oh, well, I guess Cyrus started in Oxford.
Yes.
And our connection there personally started, my parents and I took a lot of involved in I think really expanded and became a transition point. We have a house there that people can move into and transition through and get have an address with training, job, and their own place, and a program for that there. I think there are working works trying to get to here eventually.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where the heart and the knowledge came from about the Cyrus Center, and then I found out they were going to open up here, and we then connected with them and helped a few little things there, and wanted to be a part of their meals because they were really strapped for trying to put that together. So we started helping a bit of that, and the relationship here presented as something that we can have alongside. Along, real quick, for those that don't know about Cyrus Center, it's kind of like a Ruth and Naomi's, but Ruth and Naomi's doesn't address anyone under the age of 19. So it's kind of the same thing, but for ages of 12 or 13 through. Gives them somewhere to be. There's a lot of, when you talk to some of the directors of less,
yeah,
they'll tell you, look, some of the kids that come through there have come from good homes. They just need someone to say, hey, it's okay to have a bad day and help advocate through communication. As well as, there's a lot of kids that have also come from very volatile situations. And they need a safe place that they can go to. To say, hey, you got your doctors, food, there's clothes. For the real bad situation, here's a bed for the night, here's a clean shower, which you probably don't have a safe place to do that otherwise. That's sort of where our connection there came. So at night we have a couple of
Well, I know they're young adults do it, and they're doing it, I think, even not tomorrow, but next Monday, if I'm not mistaken, and it's coming on again. Debbie, do you want to add anything so far? Yeah, you have some stuff you wanted to add? Okay. So, in addition to what Chris has already said, Cyrus Center also connects our youth that are hurting in our city to and give access to other resources beyond just what they offer. So, it's really a neat deal that we're able to work with. And it's a very Crystal Center. That's how the other executive director, solid believer, he came from the student mover and was transformed by being a fantastic kids' education. a fundraiser coming up if you're interested. So why don't you give some details there? Can you give us the date again? And can you get the mic a little farther up? Because I'm not sure we heard you. Go ahead.
November 17th.
November 17th.
Doors open at 6:30.
So that's a Friday. So mark your calendars. I will back that up with an email to you so that you have memory of that. Okay, very good. I would love to do that. I'm really glad you mentioned that, actually. But can we also just thank our church family for... look at that guy back there. What is that? Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Short notice. Very well done. Did you get my push notification, by the way? Those of you who have asked. Okay. Good. Thank you.
How many people stopped to save on the way here because of that push notification?
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for stopping. Appreciate it, guys. Yes, please.
Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for the partnerships we can have in our community. We love and transform people's lives. To be a part and passion and to be a part of the life that we the same struggles. So we want to have a good families and this one of Cyrus has the opportunities for a safe place to be for them. Take a deep breath, get a hug, and get the help they need.
Center is always in need of perishable food items like milk and cheese and coffee. So I began to wonder when I began to put this before the church family, what if a number of us could meet that need? Right? Like, I wonder if the Spirit of God might urge some of us to help out in this way, even if it's just for a season. Not overcommitting, not undercommitting. What if one person or family bought milk and cheese or milk or cheese once a month, and that was combined with a couple of other families or people who might do the same? Soon enough, Cyrus Center would have fresh milk or cheese or produce every week from this family of faith as we do that together. Not burdening anyone in particular by the ask for extra money to spend or time. So give it some thought. Give it some prayer. You might be doing that story right now. That's cool. Honor that. Please respect that. And if you feel able, if you feel led, see Debbie. See Chris. And if you don't see them, please give me a call and I will get that info to you. Gratitude. Think about it. Talk about it. Write about it. Walk about it. It's good for you. It's good for others. It's actually the kind of win-win scenario that I think our God would encourage us to be a part of. So, last question, maybe. What are you thankful for today? Can I ask you, because we've talked mostly about the indirect blessing that God is through people and things and experiences, can I ask you now, since we're transitioning to celebrating communion together, what are you, and when I ask you, actually, this is not rhetorical, so I'm looking for some feedback here. What are you most grateful for about your relationship or your salvation through Jesus Christ that God has offered and that you? What are you most grateful about in that relationship? Apart from the stuff that he might give you, or the people in your life, or the experiences. Although, you want to go there, you can go there. What are you most grateful for? Freedom. I don't want to put you in a spot. Could you expand on that a little bit? Yes. So freedom from sin and guilt, right? What does that mean? Does that mean I never sin and I don't have guilt? No. What it does mean is with Jesus in my life, I am capable of choice. And when I do sin and I do feel guilty, it confirms the fact that I'm his, because in that guilt I feel I know there's a better way. We've talked about this before. If you're honest with yourself, you hate sinning. We're tempted and we sin, and we do, for sure. But none of us, I would guess, would go like this. It was sin. That was so rock solid and awesome. No. Typically, because we have this freedom, we would say, and then I hope the very next breath is, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me, Jesus. And that's great. So thanks for that. What else? And I promise I won't do a mini sermon based on your one word comment. Sorry about that. Working in our life and behind the scenes. So, Brad, let me ask you, because it's behind the scenes, and I think that's how he works a lot. How do you, if I'm putting you on the spot, forgive me. How do you see that? Hindsight. So you're getting help. Nice. Totally. So Brad was saying, obviously, if he's working behind the scenes, if you can't see it in the moment, you can look back and often see, and you used the word hindsight, but I used the phrase track record, looking at the long view of God being faithful, so very long, right? If you look back, if you look back when you have dropped the ball in your own life, for instance, and he was faithful to carry it with you, I can use that metaphor. That's so true, okay? Yeah, you know what? It's fundamentally true to say waking up each day is something to be grateful for. Because you did not wake up before you woke up to say, you can wake up today. We woke up today because God said, hey, good morning. The only reason we choose to do it is people's faith. And it makes really good, rich. So what I want you to do, because we are short on time, I want to be respectful of our teachers and that they're back there doing their great work. So what I'd like you to do now is a two-minute meditation on what you're most grateful about in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Just as we did earlier, but quietly where you are, when we are invited to remember the Lord's table, it's written in several places, but the clearest one perhaps is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're invited to remember Christ's sacrifice, and specifically, as we choose to do it here at Crossroads, taking these emblems, which are or these symbols, pictures of Christ's body, which is the bread that is his shed blood, which is the juice that is at each station. So I say there, in a moment, after we take it to the quiet, okay? And examine ourselves. But instead of examining ourselves, look for sin that we have confessed, which is often what you do, and that's okay, it's a good thing. I'm going to ask you to examine yourself around, what am I breathtakingly thankful for about my relationship with Jesus Christ? For example, so Doug, I will take that music now while we're sort of just reflecting on that. Wow, you are so good. And take a minute where you are, 2 minutes. Get comfortable, breathe deeply, remember, think on it. That was off the short time. it looked like this before, but God's standing here toward them, and he looks up to them. Thank you.
We did practice. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a loud stretched arm. Sing His love endures forever. Been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. His love endures. Forever, God is faithful. Forever, He's strong. Forever, God is strong. Forever, He's with us. Forever, God is with us. Forever. Sing that again. Forever, God. Forever, God is faithful. Forever, God is strong. Forever, God is with us. Forever. Let's sing that first verse. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, our God, and His love. His love endures forever. For He is good. For He is good. He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is with us. Forever God is with us. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. And forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever. We're saying His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Forever. Sing that one more time. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Forever. Get ready for the week going to